Good morning, church. Let's turn in our Bible to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5, we'll be looking at verses 12 through 14. And this is our last sermon in Peter. And so these are his final thoughts and closing words. Let's read verse 12 through 14. By Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God. Stand firm in it. She who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark, my son. Greet one another with the kiss of love. Peace to all of you who are in Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we just confess that we need you. Father, as individuals, as a church and community, but also as a nation, Lord, and we know that we need your grace, God. We know that we need you to break through and to move in a powerful way, God, with the hope that only you can bring. So many hopeless situations around us, God. So much bad news, God, that we're just faced with continually. But we know, God, that from who you are, from your word, that you are the God of all hope. And I pray that you would fill us with your joy and your peace as we trust in you, and that we would abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so I pray for those who feel hopeless right now. I pray that you would meet them in a special way. I pray for those who are just struggling with doubt, confusion, those who are discouraged. I pray that you would shine upon them. And I pray that your word would open us up, God, to receive from you, and that you would do an amazing work in and through us, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Many of you have seen the news this week, and I think it's been kind of a weighty week for many people, just being faced with the reality that is our country, the racism that is, it's more there than we like to admit. The death of George Floyd, and just these things that have been coming up, people rioting, and there's just a lot going on this week, and I feel like it's very easy for it to polarize people, for people to go to one extreme or the other. And my heart for us, and as we watch the news and we try to process through and digest, is that we would be engaged, that we would not just sit comfortably in our homes, but that we would allow the hard truths in our country to really bother us and to really move us to action, that we would have the heart of God in the face of these injustices and the brokenness of the world. And I think sometimes that looks like asking God questions, like the psalmist asks God, like, how long will the wicked prosper? How long, O Lord, how long? He looks at the brokenness in the world and he's like, man, this is like, there's so many injustices in the world and there's so much brokenness in the world. And it's like, how do we make sense of that as God's people? And I think it begins by being honest with the Lord about what we're struggling with, what we're dealing with, and the things that weigh heavy on our heart. I think the Lord wants to help enter into that space. And he wants us to pray and really say, Lord, like, bring about change and bring about justice in this land. And I think God wants to move us and break us and get us to a place where we're saying, Lord, burden our hearts for those who don't know you. Burden our hearts for the oppressed. Burden our hearts for those who are dying unjustly. And so I think as we come, you know, to this message, my heart for us is that we would, as God's people, just cry out and say, Lord, we want to see you move in this generation. We want to see you move in our country. We don't want to come with a self-righteous spirit, thinking that everyone else is the problem and that we're not. We want to come humbly and identify with people who are struggling and say, you know what? I am the problem as well. I have contributed to the issues and the problems in the world and the suffering and the pain as well. And we're saying, not as one looking down and pointing the finger at people who are blowing it, but saying, you know what? I am a sinner amongst other sinners, and people might sin differently than me, but that does not mean that my hands are clean. And I think if we could have the humility to approach this situation, and when we see these different issues pop up, I think God would really begin to shape our hearts and say, hey, I want to give you my heart for these people, for your community, for the injustices that are happening all around us. And so my heart for us in this time is that we would just lay before the Lord the things that are weighing us down. Maybe you just had a tough week. You're saying, man, I can't even look at the news because it's just so gnarly. Maybe you're dealing with some relational conflict or your job security. And you're like, man, I'm just looking for purpose in life, and I feel like I'm not finding it. Wherever it is that you're at this morning, I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to meet you, and he wants to speak to you. And know this, that God is able, and he's wanting to speak to you in whatever place you find yourself at this morning. And so I trust that the Holy Spirit will do that, not because of me, but because of him, because he's good, and because he meets us in amazing ways. And so I just want to pray one more time that God would move in our country, in our community, and in our world. Father, we pray that you would be at work. There's so many injustices, God, that racism that we're being hit with, that we think, okay, that's a problem over in that part of the country. But really, God, this is a big issue. And I think even in many of us, we would not like to admit it, but there are certain prejudices. There are certain things that lay inside our hearts, God, that we want to confess and we want to lay before you. We pray that the gospel would shape the way that we view people, that we would never look down at another human being, but we'd realize people, every single person is made in the image of God. They have dignity, worth, and value. And I pray that you would give us a heart of love for all peoples, Lord, that you would help us to love each other, God. For those who've experienced racism, for those who've experienced pain and just heartache in this season, I pray that you'd meet them and that you'd bring healing and hope. And I pray that your word would just wash over us this morning. Your word is truth. I pray that you would sanctify us with your truth. Have your way in us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want us to look at this last section that Peter closes out with here in 1 Peter. And we've been kind of taking it a little bit slower these last few weeks, but I really want to just camp out here and kind of go over what Peter is communicating to us and to these believers who are facing suffering and persecution. So let's read verses 12 through 14. He says, "By Silvanus, a faithful brother, as I regard him, I have written briefly to you, exhorting and declaring that this is the true grace of God." Okay, and so right away, Peter begins to bring into the picture this man, Silvanus. And I love how he describes him. He says, man, he's a faithful brother. This man, it seems like he helped Paul. Maybe he wrote for Paul. Paul dictated to him and he wrote the letter down. Or he might have carried this letter to the church. Whether it was A, B, both of those, we're not sure. But what we do know is that Silvanus, or he's called Silas in other parts of Scripture, he was an instrumental part to the ministry of Paul. And I love how Paul brings him in here and he compliments him and says, man, this brother is a faithful man. And I think there's a principle here for us to take, and that is that we're to appreciate the faithful people that God has placed in our lives. We need to appreciate the faithful people that God has placed in our lives. We don't always communicate this to each other, but I think it would be valuable for us to do, right? If you see someone that's ministering faithfully in the Lord, and I know for me, there have been, some of you have been faithful in your ministry and in helping the ministry of the church. And man, I'm just super thankful for you and the ministry that you've done to the body of Christ. You're a blessing, and I want to get better at communicating that to you because we don't want to take each other for granted. I think it's easy to take faithful people for granted because they're so reliable, they're so trustworthy. That's just who they are. And oftentimes we don't communicate and say, hey man, I appreciate you, sister. I appreciate you. I appreciate your ministry. The Lord sees you. Maybe people aren't complimenting or people aren't taking notice of what you're doing, but the Lord sees you and we're thankful to have you in the body of Christ. I love how Paul sets this tone here. Excuse me, Peter. If I say Paul, forgive me, I mean Peter. I love how Peter sets his tone here, and he encourages this man, Silas. He says, man, this brother is faithful, and he vouches to the church for him and says, this is a faithful brother, and he's helping me. He's writing down the words that I'm saying. And I think we need to grow in this and showing our appreciation for each other. When we have a church service, or even if it has nothing to do with a church service, if someone brings you something as a gift, someone gives you a verse or just prays for you, like we need to be quick to show our appreciation to those people. We shouldn't be afraid to do that. I know it can kind of seem weird and like we're being like too mushy, but I think, man, put it out there, man. Put your heart out there and say, man, I appreciate you. I thank God for you. You're a blessing to this community, and you're a blessing to me. I've been so blessed to see many of you drop things off at people's houses, sweet notes, little like baked goods or whatever it is. And I think that's so sweet of you to do. I think it shows something to people. It shows like, even though we're in, you know, people are in quarantine and we're more isolated than we've been, hey, I'm still thinking about you. Hey, we care about you. And I think that can make someone's day. Never underestimate those small things, the small details. And I think that's what Peter's covering here. He's going to bring people into it. I think he brings three people here into the close of his letter. But he's really just focusing on these details. He's wrapping up the letter. But I think it's easy for us to overlook these details. And I think God wants us to pay attention to the details. We all want to hear the words of Jesus when we stand before him. Well done, good and faithful servant. Jesus prophesied that that will happen one day, that he will tell people, well done, good and faithful servant. And I think as we appreciate the faithful people in our life, we also want to be people who are found faithful with the ministry and with the living a Christian life in this world. And I don't want you to hear when I'm saying, hey, man, you need to be faithful, or sister, be faithful. Like, yeah, be loyal, be committed. But it's more, how do we do that? It's not just by trying to be a good person, but it's by looking to the faithful one. And this, you guys, I think this is what really separates Christianity from every other religion, is because religion many times will say, hey, just be faithful. But what Christianity says is look to the only one who has ever been faithful completely, and that's Jesus. And as you look to the faithful one, you will find yourself becoming faithful. Because like we said last week, we become like what we behold. And as you look to Jesus, you will be more Christ-like. You will grow in character, and you will grow in faithfulness. And so this is my encouragement for us, is to really be people who look to Jesus and say, Lord, like we look at our week and we're like, you know what? I am not faithful. There are times where I'm dropping the ball, or, you know, I'm operating from a place of insecurity, or I'm lazy, or, you know, there's times where it's just like, this person might drive me nuts. Like there's times where we don't want to be faithful. And I think just being honest with the Lord about that and saying, you know what? But I'm looking to Jesus because, Lord, you were faithful in your ministry, you were faithful to live a perfect life, and your faithfulness led you to the cross to die for me and to rise again for me. And I think as we look to him, we'll grow in faithfulness. will want to be faithful. People won't have to say, hey man, you should be loyal, you should be committed, you should do ministry. It's like, no, we want to look to Jesus. And as we look to Jesus, the fruit of that will be faithfulness. The next thing that Peter says here is that we're to always hold fast to the grace of God. And we talked about this a little bit last week, and we said that God is the God of all grace in verse 10. And he's the one who calls us to his eternal glory in Christ. Peter revisits that theme and says, okay, yes, God is the God of all grace, but what I've been talking to you about in my letter, it's all about the grace of God. It's about the true grace of God, he says. And he says that we're to stand firm in it. And so we want to be people who let the grace of God, that the grace of God is central in our life and in our ministry. Peter just sums up his whole letter and says, hey, all that I've been telling you, it's all about the grace of God. And there's a response that's supposed to happen from us as we look at God's grace. It's to move us. And we're to stand firm in it, he says. You see, the tendency for us is to have like a shallow understanding of God's grace and say, okay, yes, I believe that Jesus died on the cross for me, that he rose again for me, that he's coming back. Now I'll try to be a good Christian and work hard. Now I'll try to not to sin as much as I have in the past. Now I'll try to be a more loving person. And so we receive the grace of God, but then it's almost like we graduate from that. And I love what Paul Tripp says about this. He says, there are no grace graduates. Some of you who are graduating this year, we're proud of you. We're thankful for you. But know this, you will never graduate from the school of grace. You will always be learning. You will always be diving deeper. You never graduate from grace. You just go deeper into it. And this is what life is like for the believer. Even Paul, when he talked about him working, he said that I worked harder than all these other apostles, but it wasn't I, but the grace of God that was at work in me. See, grace doesn't mean that you're not working hard. It just means that God's grace is actively working in and through you, and it causes you to work hard. But you're not working to be accepted by God. You're working because you've already been accepted by God. He has lavished his grace upon you. And that grace is meant to flesh itself out in our lives. This favor, this love, this kindness, the grace of God through Christ is meant to move us to love each other, to forgive people who hurt us, to extend kindness to people who maybe even drive us crazy. God's grace is meant to move us to action. And Peter says here, I've been exhorting you, I've been encouraging you in this grace, I've been declaring it to you, and now I'm calling you to stand firm in it. We've been born again to a living hope through the gospel. He says, don't forget about this. Let the gospel be central. Let grace be central in your life. And when that's the case, you will be able to give that grace out to other people. The last thing I want to see here is that we're to be intentional in how we care for others. We're called here to be intentional in how we care for others. We don't want to allow circumstances to hinder us from thinking about and reaching out to other people. We want to be a blessing. And sometimes this will take more intentionality, right? Like in the season that we're in, it's easy to coast and kind of just sink into your cave and enjoy your space. But I think the gospel beckons us to be intentional in reaching out for others. I love how Peter sends greetings to people. He says in verse 13, she who is at Babylon, who is likewise chosen, sends you greetings, and so does Mark my son. Greet one another with the kiss of love. When we look at who he's talking about here, she who is at Babylon, many scholars believe that he's referring to the church community that he's a part of. Some people might say it's his wife. But I'd say the majority of scholars believe that this is the church community that Peter was a part of. And he's basically just saying, hey, the believers here at Babylon, they're sending greetings to you. And Babylon, I think, could be a reference to Rome. Most scholars believe that he's speaking about Rome. But either way, he's basically just saying, hey, she who's at Babylon sends greetings to you, and so does Mark, my son. And then he says, greet one another with a kiss of love. And I think the principle there is that we're to be intentional in how we care for people, right? It's easy when someone asks for prayer and we say, oh yeah, I'll pray for you. How easy it is for us to forget to actually pray for them. And I think it's really about, like I said before, these little details, remembering the things that people are going through. If you talk to someone last week, they're struggling with an issue, like, have you followed up, you know? Like, maybe God puts it on your heart to say, why don't you call them and check up and see how they're doing? And I love what Peter is doing here, because it's a reminder to me, hey, I need to be intentional in how I'm reaching out to other people. And I think as we're spending time with God, it's been cool this week and just during this season to, like, certain people come to mind that I feel like God wants me to reach out to. And it was cool this past week reaching out to a brother and him just saying, you know what, I'm so glad you called. You called at just the right time. And it was just really sweet to see God open up that door. As we step out, God meets us there. Maybe you call someone and you're like, man, I don't even know if I was supposed to call them. Like, you're not going to go wrong in trying to show your care to people and to the people of God. And so I think as we're spending time with the Lord, praying, God, if there's someone that you want me to call, if there's someone that you want me to check up on, let me do that and give me your heart for them. He has this greeting here in verse 14. He says, greet one another with a kiss of love. This was something that was cultural, right? So single guys, please don't try this at church. Sisters got full, you know, ability to just slap you. this is something that was for them in their culture. But the greeting remains the same, right? Like, the love and the care that we show is the same. That command remains for all people at all times. The way that that manifests differs from culture to culture. But this underlying principle of greeting each other or showing care or concern or reaching out, showing intentionality, is the same. And so I think for us, thinking about ways, how can we reach out to people, be intentional to really care for them, to maybe go minister, to drop off something to the believers, and just to know that this really makes a big impact in people's lives. Think about how you feel when someone thinks about you or calls you. And I felt like this a couple weeks ago. My buddy, we were talking on the phone, and he just kind of encouraged me, you know, just with some things from the past and just saying, hey, man, we miss you guys. And he was just letting me know some of his appreciation. And I saw what that did in my heart. Like, that brought life to me. And it wasn't anything to be proud about. It was just more, wow, man, it's really encouraging when someone comes alongside you and is intentional and cares for you and speaks those words of appreciation. I think that really helps us as the people of God to be healthy and to be in a good place as a church. And so these are things that we want to practice and we want to put into practice this week. Like, ask yourself during this whole, you know, few months, has this been more of a time to really, you know, just check out and not engage, or is this a time where you're kind of engaging and saying, you know what, I'm going to be purposeful in how I minister to God's people? I know some of you need a break, and I know some of you God has different things for, so I'm not trying to put anything on you. I'm just saying, let's be those who are intentional and thinking through, man, how could I be a blessing in this season? At the end there, at the last line in verse 14, he says, peace to all of you who are in Christ. He just closes it out there. He says, hey, you know what? I'm just praying that God's peace would be all over you, those of you who are in Christ. And this is a result, really, of people who know Christ, who have been born of God. The peace of God is a gift that God gives you. In John 14:27, listen to what Jesus tells his disciples. He says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And I love this promise of peace that Jesus gives to his people. He says, I'm giving you a completely different peace than what the world knows. The world desires peace, but it's a shallow peace because it's not rooted in Christ. The peace of Christ brings depth. The peace of Christ surpasses all understanding. And this is really the gift of God's peace. And Peter's praying that they would experience this peace. And this is open for all of us to experience as well. I pray that for those of you who are feeling restless right now, who are feeling uneasy and unsettled by all that's going on, I pray that the God of all peace would give you his peace that goes beyond all understanding. And that you would be able to experience his peace even when things don't make sense. Even when you're like, man, I shouldn't be feeling peace because I feel like I should be carrying stress and anxiety and worry. And I think what we saw a while back in verse 7 is that we're to cast all of our anxieties on Christ because he cares for us. He wants to give us his peace and he wants to take our cares. He wants to exchange our anxieties and give us his peace. And so I pray that we would be people who pursue this peace and that we would rest in the finished work of Jesus on our behalf, and that we would know that at the end of the day, God is on his throne. His will be done. That we could trust in him, that even when things are going crazy around us, he's in complete control. And I pray that he would show us that this week. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for who you are. I just pray, God, that you would help us to be faithful in the things that you call us to, Lord. Thank you for the men and women in our lives who have been faithful and just loyal and committed examples, Lord, of representing who you are to us. Thank you for all the people who have blessed us in the church. We don't take them for granted. We thank you for them, God. I pray that you'd help us to hold fast to your grace, Lord, that we would be strong and that we'd stand firm in your grace, that we wouldn't go striving, trying to make it happen in our own flesh, but that we'd really work from a place of allowing your grace to fill us and to work out of us. And that you'd help us in these moments this week, God, when we're frustrated, when we're kind of at a low point, that you would really give us your grace in those times. I pray that you'd help us to be intentional with others as well, God. That you'd help us to love and care for, and that you'd lead us in these opportunities this week, God, that we'd see you move in our lives, and that we'd walk in the things that you have, Father. So we pray you'd have your way in our lives, God. Thank you for this book of 1 Peter. I pray that we'd have hope in you, and that you'd move in a powerful way, Lord, in our world, in this country, God, in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.